All right, that is the sound of spring to me. How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, that feels like when you get home from, you know, you get home at night and you start hearing the frogs in the ditch.
Yep.
That's what makes me think of.
Yeah, I love to like falling asleep to that sound. If you live close enough to a wetland,
mm-hmm.
just hearing all the frogs go. Well, I'm Charlie Mitchell. That's Andrew Zingle. This is the Season Watch podcast.
Yeah. I'm part of the cast of characters that can appear on this show.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All of our KXE critters. And what's your role at KXE?
I am a producer at KXE and also the Wednesday morning show usual host.
And Andrew is on this week because you love frogs.
It's true. I have loved frogs for a long time, probably since I knew what frogs were, because they are just cool little creatures, start in the water, become land creatures, and then kind of have domain over both areas.
They have it all, except for the sky. Well,
that's true.
There are those like jungle frogs that have learned to glide. They have like extra webbing on their toes so that they can glide super far between trees,
mm-hmm.
almost like a sugar glider, but in frog form. So they're working on the sky. Won't be long.
And also, they can exist on pretty much anywhere in the world. Somehow the frogs find a way.
They sure do.
Yeah, like seeing the, I think it was Nature program, and it was a special on frogs, and seeing the ones in the Arctic where they just like basically have one little heartbeat a day or something like that to keep alive, but frozen.
Yep. And their heart doesn't even beat when they're frozen. They're
just dead. Oh,
and
geez.
Then they just reanimate. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's the same. A lot of our like local frogs do that too, which is just nuts. That, yeah, you can have no heartbeat and then just reanimate yourself in spring.
And I have some real claims to being a frog fan, because one night my girlfriend and I went on a date to the Lake Bemidji State Park, and it was learning about frogs. And
nice.
They did a bunch of frog calls for us, and we had to learn them. And then they took us out to the bog to go look for frogs. Unfortunately, we didn't find any frogs that night, but we found a bunch of toads.
Nice.
Who were,
oh, I love a toad. They look so grumpy.
And they were all in the water, so they were like so swimming happy. Too.
Nice. That sounds awesome. 10 out of 10 date. You know what, when you like get out of college for a few years and all of a sudden like all of your friends are getting married?
Mm-hmm.
All of my friends, because of who I make friends with, had like outdoor weddings. I had like a goal of catching a frog at every wedding that I went to. And I was pretty close. It was great.
So where would you go to, like, what was the hot spots for frogs?
I mean, all my friends had their like weddings outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, at least in Minnesota, you know, at these outdoor wedding venues, you'd have like this big open field, often surrounded by some trees. And on the edge of those two habitats was where the frogs were and the toads.
And do you remember like what was the most common frog or toad you'd come across?
I feel like leopard frogs are the ones that I almost always find.
Yeah. Well, they're the big boys.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm more likely to see them, for one. I did catch a spring peeper at one, and toads were the other ones that I would frequently find.
Gosh, but I don't remember the last time I saw a peeper one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're so little. They're just like the size of the tip of your thumb, and I just want to give them all little kisses. They're so cute. Anyways, we are about to start hearing them. April is the time when they really begin. And so, much like your date, it's time to learn some frog calls, I was thinking.
Let's see
so
if
we're
I can
gonna start
remember
with
all
the,
of them.
Right? Yeah, this will be a quiz for you. We're going to start with the early season frogs. That's the chorus frog, the spring peeper, the wood frog, and the leopard frog are all of our beginning season froggies. So let's start with the wood frog. So, depending on how you remember things, I think the wood frog sounds a little bit like it's quacking, like a little mallard.
It does. And so I have a question for you about like the different frog calls. Like, do you think they all differentiated because like they don't want to accidentally, like, could they speak to other frogs or is it just their own frogs? Like, would a wood frog understand what a peeper is saying?
Ah, I see. Well, given that all of these calls are their mating calls, they likely understand, like, oh, that's a different species. I don't care about that, if that makes sense. But they do have some calls that are more universal. For instance, the wood frog has this kind of, like, escape or get off me call that the males do. They get very excited during the breeding season, the wood frog males. And sometimes so excited that they kind of forget to, like, look at what they're trying to mate with. And so you'll sometimes catch them trying to mate with a boot, like a green boot, or a frog of an entirely different species. And other male wood frogs have this release call that they do if another male has come along. And it's called amplexus, when they, like, wrap their little arms around the neck and then, like, grab their thumbs. And the other male will, like, give this release call saying, sorry, buddy, this is not where you want to be. Get off of me. And other frogs will have, you know, similar alarm or distress calls that, you know, if a predator is nearby, all the frogs will hear that distress call and move, at least by my personal observation. That, like, those alarm calls, at least, are multiple species understand the signal.
Interesting. Should we listen to another frog call?
The next one is actually a chorus of wood frogs. And again, these ones are the ones that sound a little bit like ducks. So I think wood duck, wood frog, or it sounds like two pieces of wood being knocked together. That's how I remember the wood frogs. So here's a chorus of them.
So here's another question for you. Like, so in our society, we have basically, when we're talking about frogs in like cartoons and stuff, they go with the ribbit ribbit thing.
Yes.
But that is not the sounds we hear in Minnesota. So where does the ribbit originate from?
It's a great question. I would guess, just culturally speaking, that there is some frog in Europe, or particularly Britain, that ribbit ribbits. What frog says ribbit? Ah, the Pacific chorus frog. Native to the west coast of North America, its distinct mating call was recorded for early Hollywood films, creating the misconception that all frogs make this sound.
Oh. Now that is a classic frog call.
That really is. If you're anywhere near water in Minnesota in the springtime, you're going to hear that one. That is our friend, the chorus frog, which I remember because it sounds like you kind of scrape your finger along the edge of a comb. You think of like chorus boys in church or something as having that very like slicked hair, very combed perfectly.
Yeah.
And so the chorus frogs are like little chorus boys, and they carry their little combs around everywhere to make their call.
Let's hear the chorus of chorus frogs.
Yes, because you almost never hear just one. They're always going all together.
They're all mating calls, correct?
Yep.
How can you tell which one is going to do better?
From my understanding, often it's how loud they are. But depending on species, it can also be the length of the call. So how many seconds the call is held. So I don't know for chorus frogs specifically, but I think those are generally the two metrics that female frogs go by. Are either it depends on how loud frog is, which often is determined by its size, or by how long they can hold it. Again, also often determined by its size.
So up next we have the spring peeper frog.
Yes, another common friend of the spring.
See, that one should be easy to identify because that is a peep if I've ever heard it.
Yes. For once, the scientist named the frog exactly after its call. Peep, peep, peep. Oh, and those frogs are so small. And yeah, they have a little X on their back, which is how they get their scientific name. Oh, I think the genus might have changed, but the second one is Crucifer. It's Pseudocrisp crucifer, at least in my guidebook here. But the Crucifer comes from that little X cross shape on their back that goes from like shoulder to hip, those two lines. And yeah, these are incredibly common frogs. Normally you don't hear just one, you hear them in a full chorus, which is what we'll listen to next.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I find that the chorus frogs and the spring peepers are so ubiquitous and loud and they call for so long that they often serve as kind of a backdrop for many of the other frog calls.
Mm-hmm.
So when, as we're listening, as we go on, you'll likely hear, for instance, the sound of a leopard frog or maybe a toad being played as the spring peepers and chorus frogs are also calling. Because it's so difficult for people to be able to record just a toad without the sound of these other frogs going as well.
And so I was talking about the Lake Bemidji State Park event and talking about mm-hmm. how you can differentiate a frog and a toad is that mm-hmm. a frog will hop, a toad will crawl.
Generally speaking, yeah. You will find toads hopping occasionally, especially if they're scared. But yeah, when they're just moving on their own, going from place to place, toads do generally do more of a crawl. I also just look for how dry or wet their skin is. Frogs tend to have much more of a slimy, like, wet-looking skin, whereas toads tend to have drier skin.
That's true. I forget that part.
Toads are also always, like, covered in little bumps, whereas frogs tend to be more smooth-skinned.
Which makes it even more strange that on the night that we went out to Lake Bemidji State Park, it was just toads we saw in the water. We didn't see any of the frogs.
Mm-hmm. Toads are also amphibians.
Yes.
So they spend part of their life cycle in the water. Their eggs need to be laid in water, and then all their little toadpoles, live in there. But yes, it is an odd sight to see a toad swimming. You can tell that that is not the adult's habitat in the water.
Yeah, I've rarely seen, like, there's only one time I've actually seen a frog, like, in the middle of, like, it was a river I was canoeing down, and we came across, mm-hmm. and a frog just popped its head up in the middle of the water, and I'd never seen a frog, like, that deep in water before, and it, like, shocked me.
Yeah, they are normally along the edge, that's where all their food is, but if you're moving from place to place, I suppose, you gotta cross the river somehow.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, now we have the northern leopard frog.
The way I remember this one is it's a leopard frog. It sounds like it's kind of snoring.
Yeah.
And cats are sleepy. Just a sleepy leopard out there snoring away.
Let's hear a bunch of sleepy ones. Yeah, and like you said, you can hear those other frogs calling in the background too.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, so a group of them will just sound like a lot of snores.
So I know that they're like in Minnesota, especially like the frog calls, there's always going to be frog calls throughout basically until fall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know which ones are like spring only, summer only, late summer ones?
So let me show you my favorite part of my favorite Reptiles and Amphibians guidebook. It's a Reptiles and Amphibians of Minnesota Field Guide by Stan Tequila. I don't know. But it has this handy phenology chart where it shows that chorus frogs, for instance, might start in March. Spring peepers start on the border of March and April. Wood frogs, border of March and April. Northern leopard frog, mid-April. And chorus frogs, for instance, start at the end of March and continue calling all the way through August. Whereas, like, wood frogs start calling at kind of on the border of March and April and are already done by mid-April.
Oh.
So it's really species-dependent how long they continue calling, how long that mating season is.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I would say on average, each frog will call for about 2.5 months. But there's a lot of variation.
For an example, like, if it's already early April and it was warm for quite a while, where it was getting like 60 degree days, but then today it just snowed a bunch. So what do the frogs do when that happens, when they have come out of hibernation?
Mm-hmm. They will just become much less active. So, you know, they're cold-blooded creatures, and when the temperature drops, their temperature drops, and the lower your temperature is as an organism, the less you can do. So, since the first thing they do is make it to water, and the water will stay about 32 degrees, assuming it's, you know, not ice, they are protected from freezing, but they're not protected from just getting really cold and kind of not being able to move very well. But they just ride it out and wait for a warmer day. But they won't be calling as much or being as active.
So would they stay in the water then when it's like snow out?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the most part. Yep. You know, I wonder about the tree frogs and some of our other critters that actually might be why they are late or mid-season frogs, are tree frogs, because they wait until it gets warmer and there's less of a chance for a sudden freeze to come out because they aren't overwintering in water. Okay. I'm not entirely sure of the story on that, but now I am curious and we'll have to discover.
So speaking of tree frogs, up next we have the gray tree frog.
Yes, and we are ending the early season frogs and moving into the mid-season frogs. So these, on average in Minnesota, will start calling kind of mid to end of April, the tree frogs.
So that one's kind of a mix of, I feel like, frog calls, where it's kind of like the one you're talking about, of like the, but it's like a higher pitched version.
Yeah. And it doesn't really change its pitch much. So the chorus frog is a, and this one's more of a, I think of it almost as a, like a scream mixed with that comb kind of interruptions in the middle. So I think the tree frogs and the toads as our two screamers, where they just kind of and the way I differentiate our two screamers is that the littler ones, these tree frogs, will only scream for, I don't know, five-ish seconds, 10 seconds. Our toads hold that for a much longer time. But let's listen to a chorus of them together. Or, sorry, a chorus of just the tree frogs together, not adding toads.
And that makes me think of, like, if you go onto the other side of the lake in Bemidji and you kind of drive in the back roads there, and if you just roll down your windows and just, like, stop your car, that's what it's going to sound like. It's just going to flood into your car at night.
Yeah. I would love to know, like, the decibels per gram of some of these frogs. You know? Like, there's such a small animal to put out such a huge sound. And I wonder, what animal is the loudest for its body weight?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a fascinating...
It'd have to be a bird, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe an insect, like a grasshopper or katydid can't be. Anyways, it's impressive. If I had lungs like that, I wouldn't have any problem calling my dog back when he, you know, ran away.
So because they're just in mating season mode, does that mean like they're not even thinking about, oh, I'm actually making enough noise to attract predators as well? Is that just like the gamble they take?
This is a gamble that they take, but they are very aware of predators. So if you go up, you know, if you're, you'll notice if you are, you know, stalking frogs as I do, and I'm sure that you do.
Yeah.
As you like approach a pond or somewhere where they're calling, they all go quiet for a little bit until you've like sat there quietly for a little bit of time, and then they'll start calling again. But they are certainly aware of predators, and part of their predator defense mechanism is to just go quiet.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we have our toads are making their debut.
Yes.
Here is the American toad. I love hearing when one toad takes over. Like they harmonize for a little bit, and it's like, it feels like, all right, now it's your turn to finish.
Yep. The lungs on those guys. Oh, they just keep going. I forget exactly how long they can hold their call. It's a good little factoid somewhere in there. But yeah, that trill or scream can last 20 to 40 seconds.
Wow.
But I know it can last longer as well. I think it was up to a minute that they can hold that. And that's just nuts.
Is it still like the same rules you were saying earlier that like the longer they go, the more likely they'll attract a mate?
I believe so. I'm not sure. Okay, so male body length has been documented to influence female mating patterns. Okay, that will be an answer for another week.
All right, here is a chorus of American toads. I could find it terrifying if you just like didn't know what toads and frogs were and you just hear this noise in the middle of the woods.
Right? Yeah, especially I feel like I think something about the toads, because their call is so long and there tend to be like so many of them, it just gets a little bit of a sensory overload of just toads yelling forever. And like, yeah, if you didn't know that it's coming from this like small kind of cute animal, it could be pretty unpleasant. And I've, you know, tried to fall asleep in a tent next to a place where they're just a bunch of them yelling all night, and it's loud.
And then we finally have the green frog here. Yes. By itself.
So this is a more of a late season frog. So let me update us on where we are in the year. So American toad will start singing kind of early May, and the green frog is much later, end of May, beginning of June.
Now that's a very different frog call.
That is a very different frog call. It's very short. So I think of these frogs, the green frog, as they sound a little bit like they're plucking a banjo.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll generally only get one pluck, sometimes two, as a call. And then there's a long gap, and then it'll repeat. But I either think about, like, a green banjo, and for some reason that's a specific enough image to stick in my head. Or there's that Kermit meme where he's holding a banjo.
Yeah, I wonder if it was the green frog that kind of... Because there's a lot of, like, old pieces of artwork of frogs playing on banjos to the moon. Uh-huh. Which, like, I guess you would... If you didn't know that they were doing the mating thing, that you'd be like, oh, they must be playing for the moon kind of thing.
Yes. That could make a lot of sense. Yeah, it's a very much a, like, plucking a stringed instrument. That's very much what the sound is. So I can absolutely see why you would make that art. And you see it, I think, in... Oh, there's that Disney movie set in New Orleans.
The Frog Princess?
Yeah, that's the one. Yep. I find that one a very easy one to identify, and it always makes me smile when I hear it because you kind of know it's summer
mm-hmm.
when that one starts going. It's kind of like when you start hearing the chorus frogs, you know it's real spring. When you start hearing the green frog, you know it's summer. And that's been our little tour of the more common frogs, Minnesota. How does this compare to your class in Lake Bemidji?
It feels like a good refresher. And now that, like, because when I took that class at Bemidji, it was, like, in the middle of summer, so I already missed out on, like, all the spring ones. But now mm-hmm. I'll be ready to go.
Good, good. Then to close us out, let's listen to a mixed chorus and see if we can identify the frogs within. What we thinking, Andrew?
I definitely heard peeper.
Yep.
And chorus frog?
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep. Peepers and chorus frogs. And those are the two that you're certainly going to hear this spring and that often serve as a backdrop to the other one. So if you can identify the spring peeper and the chorus frog, you're golden. Now, we have a lot of people to thank for this particular episode of Season Watch. All of these calls were pulled from iNaturalist observations and were offered under a Creative Commons license. So our iNaturalist contributors this week were MSME Bakken for the wood frog, Adam-H for the wood frog chorus, Bea Thread for the chorus frog single, Jennifer F4 for the chorus frog chorus, Jennifer F4 for the spring peeper single, Johnny Tosti for the spring peeper chorus, our friend Ben Stubbs, a former student phenologist, recorded the northern leopard frog single, Carissa B is responsible for the mixed chorus leopard frog, and we have Not Jess, N-O-T-T-J-E-S, for the gray tree frog single, Not Jess again for the gray tree frog chorus, Starbright 651 for the American Toad single, and H.L. Meninger for the chorus for the American Toad, Michael Chergosky for the green frog, and then the mixed chorus quiz one was one that I recorded.
Excellent. Well, Charlie, thanks for letting me hop on. Get it? Hop hey. On to the frog episode of Season Watch Pod.
This has been a pleasure. This is one I've been looking forward to since the podcast started, so I'm glad you could be here for it.